This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. Yes, God's word is verbally inspired, my friend. Someone mentioned not long ago in my presence, well, you just don't know how much of the Bible you can believe. But I tell you, my friend, you can believe every bit of it. You can, old Pastor Shelton used to say here, he'd hold up his Bible, and he'd say, this is God's word, believe it and be saved, disbelieve it and go to hell. But we're inviting you to stay tuned now to hear the message, Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. Oh, my friend, if you ever listen to a message, I wish you'd listen to this one. It's number 425. You can order it by that title. It's available free and postpaid in booklet form, but it's also available on CDs for a small fee. And if you call me, write me. My email address is pastor@radiomissions.org. Or you can call me on the phone, area code 225-664-8658. I'm here every morning, early in the morning. I get here and spend time here in the morning and get coffee and make coffee. If you want to come by and drink coffee with us early one morning, we'd be glad to do that. But the message that you'll hear is Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. And I've heard the message several times, and it's an eye-opener, my friend. If you want to be saved, you tell me you are awakened soul, stay tuned and hear this message, my friend. Stay tuned and hear the message.
We want to see today how the Lord Jesus, when He gets ready to save a sinner, calls that sinner out from Satan's family, how He makes that sinner ready to be willing to quit Satan as his master and to come out of the prison he's in. You see, no sinner wants to come out from that prison. No sinner wants to quit his sins by nature. No sinner wants to come to Christ by nature. Remember one thing, God never delivers a sinner against his will. No, He doesn't. He never dips a sinner in the blood of Christ against the sinner's will. Christ always honors the sinner's will, even though it is depraved and held captive by his old depraved nature. He liberates that will until it can make the choice for Christ. We find here that the Lord Jesus is sent to bind up the brokenhearted. That sinner's heart has got to be broken before he'll ever come to the place where he's made willing for Christ to deliver him. He's got to be broken until he sees his utter helplessness, his utterly depraved condition, his utterly lost condition, and sees the judgment he's under, and is made to feel the keen edge of the sword of God's justice and the sword of depravity before he'll ever be willing for the Holy Spirit to take him by force out of Satan's hands, out of Satan's territory, out of his prison cell, and translate him or bring him over into the family of God as an heir of God and as a joint heir with Christ. My friend, salvation is by blood and by power. What is palmed off today for salvation as a whole is so shallow until it makes Satan laugh. The devil is having his heyday in the religious world. He certainly is. Now let's look at our text more closely. Here in Isaiah 61:1, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That expression, to bind up the brokenhearted, belongs to the priestly office of Christ. And you get a great illustration of that in the Good Samaritan kneeling by that man on the road to Jericho, wounded, and how he binds up that man's wounds. And God cannot bind up the brokenhearted until that heart's broken. It reveals the fact that man is sick of sin, and his heart has been broken and cast down on account of sin and its consequences. But our Lord comes and binds it up. Has your heart ever been broken? And has the Lord Jesus ever knelt by you and bound up your broken heart? He has mine. What a blessed day it was. I never ceased to praise Him. This has been one of the greatest weeks in my life, just praising the Lord for saving me. That's all I've done this week. Let's not forget one thing, my friend, that salvation is deliverance, and it's the greatest thing that ever happens to an individual, if it ever does happen, because it's by power and by blood, and it's complete. There's no halfway job. You're either saved or you're not saved. There's no midway ground about it. And I want to tell you something else. You listen. Lay down everything. Just listen to it. Will you do it? Just listen. You'll know when that takes place. Yes, sir. I don't care whether you're a child of 10 or a man of 90 years of age. You'll know when it takes place. And I'll tell you something else. If God ever saves you in Christ Jesus, it'll be the greatest thing that ever happened to your life in this world or the world to come. And I'll tell you something else, friend. Nothing will ever happen before your salvation or after your salvation if you're ever saved that will eclipse that salvation in Christ. You'll hear multitudes say, "Yes, I'm saved, I'm saved. But I've had this experience, and I've had that experience, and I've had this and that and the other." Well, my friend, you're just not saved. You don't know anything about the salvation of the Bible. And you're going to hell as straight as a martin is to its gourd, and you don't know it. That's right. Because there's nothing in the world that eclipses salvation in Christ. Now let's look at our text again. "He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Has your heart ever been broken? Has your will ever been broken? There's the natural heart, which according to 2 Corinthians 7:10, worketh death. You have the sorrow of the world, but that heart is a whole heart. It's never been broken at the feet of Christ, and you still have the same old wicked self-will that you've always had. Ah, it may have been broken by crosses or afflictions or by adversities. You might have lost a child, and your heart is broken over that. You may have lost your business, and your heart is broken over that. You may have been treated cruelly, and your heart broken over that, but that isn't the broken heart he's talking about here. Jesus doesn't heal that type of broken heart. Unless you're saved. No, he doesn't. But that heart is still unbroken. It is still as hard as ever. The veil is upon that heart. You do not believe the Bible, nor the law, nor the wrath to come. You live in a world of make-believe. Satan still has possession of your heart and carries away the Word of God as fast as you hear it. You are dead in trespasses and sins. You do not hear. You do not feel. You're past feeling. That's the natural heart. That heart's never been broken. No, it hasn't. You may have cried a many a crocodile tear, and your shoulders may be bending low. You may have coming down to the grave, but my friend, that heart has never been broken. There's the religiously broken heart, which arises from religious causes. You might have come down to the front crying, confessing some of your sins, joined the church and been baptized, but that heart is not broken. Sin has sunken into your soul so deeply until it's like a deadly poison, but it is still a whole heart. You have built a religious wall around you, inside of which you hope for safety. You have built your religious wall by your prayers, your giving, your church membership, and you're trying to live up to the standard of your own creation, but your heart is still whole. It's never been broken. Living within the own castle of your own building, you are in a castle of death, which is full of dead men's bones. Many have died in that castle where you are now and gone to hell before you. You judge everybody by the standard that you have erected. And if they do not measure up to your standard, you become critical. You set yourself up as a judge. Satan has you blinded. Your heart is darkened. You can't see, hear, nor understand. Pray that God will give you a broken heart, friend, because your dead, unbroken heart will not last long. You're standing on slippery places, and your feet are sliding down to hell, and hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Then what a day it'll be, because according to Proverbs 1:26, Christ will laugh at your calamity. You're so entranced there by the power of Satan, and he so guards the door of your heart until you will not listen to the warnings that God is sending to you. Your little wall of believingism or imitation will not stand in the day of calamity, in the day of God's wrath. Sinner, may you hear the call of God to come out. May you listen to that call. May you give heed. May you stir up yourself today. Are you listening? A true broken-hearted sinner is as sick of sin as ever a man is sick of poison. Listen to Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Listen now. Get it. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness as for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. What a scripture. What a picture of a sinner broken at the feet of Christ. We see here a kindly broken heart for sin. A kindly broken heart for sin, which is the result of gospel grace. A sickness of which never a one shall die. That's right. What is it about sin which breaks a man's heart? Now you listen to me. Now you didn't get that. You listen to me, friend. Let your company alone. You sit down there and get quiet, will you? Now you're worrying me. Now you're making me nervous this morning because you won't get quiet. Will you sit down there? Just sit down, will you? Listen to me. For God's sake, listen to me. This may be the last time I'll ever preach to you. Maybe the last message you'll ever hear. I was preaching in Ashland, Kentucky one day, and I walked down the aisle at 12 o'clock, laid my hand upon a man's head, and asked him, did he know Christ? That was the last message he ever heard. 3 o'clock, he lay in the casket, cold in death. This may be the last message. Do you know Christ? When God gets ready to save a soul and deliver him out of Satan's family, he brings that individual to reflect on his sins. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Paul said one time, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. God the Holy Spirit takes the law of God and makes the first wound in the sinner's heart. And the sinner begins to see himself as he is, guilty and under the wrath of God, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now get this truth and hold it. Now you may not believe it at first, but it'll hold water. Get this truth and hold it. The gospel of Christ never opens a sinner's heart. The gospel of Christ never opens a sinner's heart. The gospel of Christ is never good news to a sinner until that heart is broken. It's the law of God that breaks a sinner's heart. Now you get it. It's the law of God that breaks the sinner's heart. God never saves a sinner until he first puts him under law and lets that sinner see that he is a sinner, a guilty sinner, an ungodly sinner, a wicked sinner in the face of God's holy law. Brother, you are going to come to respect God's law. God's law is holy and righteous and just altogether. Paul said to the Galatians, the law is a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. Again he says, the law is a mirror in which the sinner beholds his guilt. You know why we are not seeing sinners weeping and mourning over their sins in the average church today? It's because the average preacher knows nothing about preaching the law of God to the awakening of a sinner. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Don't know that, do they? They hold out a little believingism. Come on, trust Jesus, and that's the end of it. Brother, you can't trust him till you're a guilty sinner. There's no maybe so about it. When God opens that sinner's heart and lets him look into the perfect law of God, there are two things that that sinner begins to see. One is he's a guilty, hell-deserving, God-dishonoring, justly condemned sinner, without God, without hope. On the other hand, he begins to see the majesty and holiness of God, and then see the great gulf between his utter wickedness and the holiness of an omnipotent God. Most sinners never get beyond the place where they are sorry they got caught. That's right. When that sinner begins to realize his guilt and the burden of his guilt, and it begins to weigh upon him as a burden upon his back and upon his head and upon his spirit, he is made to cry out according to Hosea 14:2, take away all my iniquity. Receive us graciously. Why? Because they find the load of sin too heavy to bear, and their spirits are being broken under it. When they begin to see their guilt and their weakness and the penalty of sins, which is death, they begin to experience as never before the domineering power of sin which holds them captive, and they cannot get the mastery over it. Their heart is broken at the feet of Christ, crying for deliverance. That's right. As the Holy Spirit continues to hold up before that awakened sinner the perfect law of God, and he continues to see his sin, his guilt, his own indwelling sin, the sin nature that cleaves so close to him that he cannot shake it off, you'll hear him crying, according to Romans 7:24, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Then according to Luke 18:13, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now why? God has taken the hammer of the law and awakened and opened that sinner's heart by his Spirit and by his grace, and let him look in the face of that law and see what he is. So much so, until that sinner disturbs all the host of Satan. So much so, until he gives the devil himself the whim-whams or the jim-jams. This individual has a sincere love for holiness. He longs to be like Christ. He wants to be delivered. He cannot be still and never will be still till God delivers him. No, he won't. No, he won't. He sees his feet sliding into hell. Satan will do everything in his power to sidetrack him, to deter him. But there is the desire in his heart. Oh, I wish I was like Christ. And that sense of sin breaks the sinner's heart. He wonders how God could ever love him and how God could ever spare him to live this long and him so wicked. Brother, these are not just mere words falling from that sinner's lips. They are coming from his heart. They are experimental to him. He knows them. Pride is fleeing out of the window of his soul. Let's sum it up in these words. The sinner sees that he is not what God would have him be or what he would have himself to be. He had greatly become dissatisfied with himself, and he sees that he cannot make himself right. This brings him misery and leads to a broken heart at the feet of Christ. Yes, it does. I know, as that sinner looks into the perfect law of God and sees his utter helplessness to make himself better, the heart rises many times against God because of the strictness of the law. He wants to have his own way until that will is completely broken and that heart rests at the feet of Christ, completely emptied of all rebellion and pride. God will never deliver him. I wish every wicked sinner could see and know one thing. God never delivers you until your will is broken. It's one thing to believe in the sovereignty of God. Get this now. It's one thing to believe in the sovereignty of God, but it's another thing to stoop to take salvation at the hands of a sovereign God as a poor, lost, hell-deserving, heartbroken sinner. It's great to talk about or preach the sovereignty of God, but it's entirely a different thing, sinner, to lie in the dust of repentance at the feet of a sovereign God, knowing he can save you or damn you as he pleases. Yes, it's one thing to be awakened there in your prison cell to the fact you're lost, but it's entirely another thing to be saved or delivered by the power of God, washed in the blood of Christ. I plead with you not to rest or be content in your convictions. Now let's notice, what is a broken heart? A broken heart is a contrite or a bruised heart. Psalms 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A contrite heart is not only a broken heart, broken in pieces like a rock, but one that is ground to powder. All self-pity, self-humiliation, pride, rebellion is gone. That sinner's come to lie at the feet of Christ with no will of his own. That will and that heart has been broken. He's hoisted the white flag. He's made a complete surrender. There's one cry in his heart, rend my heart, O Lord, turn me, O Lord, and I shall be turned. Then a broken heart is also a pained heart, an aching heart. God wounds the guilty conscience, and the sinner sees that sin is evil and bitter. And the deeper the wound, the sore the heart is broken. According to Proverbs 15:13, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A broken heart is a sorrowful heart, a mourning heart. It is a heart, you listen now, it's a heart under the heaviness of the hand of God. It's a heart that's brought low. You'll hear that individual crying, O Lord, against thee only have I sinned. O Lord, I am not worthy to be saved. O Lord God, hear me, if you will. Take thou away all my self-righteousness. Remove all my iniquity from me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What a morning, with that heart broken at the feet of Christ. I know, friends, I know what I'm talking about. A broken heart is a shameful heart. It's filled with shame, and it cries out according to Ezra 9:6, Oh my God, I'm ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. Why is that so? He sees himself as a contemptible outcast because of his iniquities. He's even ashamed to come before God. He's like the publican in the temple. He'll not so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven, but with his head bowed in shame, he cries, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, the sinner. Will you do it? Look upon me as you look upon that sacrifice yonder. A broken heart is a soft and tender heart, according to Ezekiel 36:26, where God says, a new heart will I give thee. I'll take away the stony heart. I'll give thee a heart of flesh. This sinner sees what God has done for him, how God's loved him, and how he's been long-suffering with him, and how he has treated him, and how he has treated God. And he breaks that heart down in tenderness until he's crying, Lord, don't pass me by. May thy tender mercies envelop me. It's a kindly heart. You see, that heart is easily entreated. A self-righteous heart never apologizes, never. A heart that has lived only under the great concept of the sovereignty of God and never been made to see that he's a lost sinner, that heart is not tendered. You get that, friend? You get it? Listen. A heart that's lived only under the great concept of the sovereignty of God and never been made to see that he's a lost, hell-deserving sinner, that heart is not tendered. Then a broken heart is a rent heart. Repentance has rent that heart in two, and then it's an empty heart. Yes, a broken heart is an empty heart. It's been emptied out at the feet of Christ, like that woman in the home of the Pharisee, when she bathed his feet with tears of repentance and wiped them with the hair of her head and broken the box of precious ointment over his feet. That sinner empties out his heart at the feet of Christ. He tells him everything. He holds nothing. He confesses his sin, his old corrupt nature. He confesses his pride, his damnable self-righteousness, his utter helplessness, his old hellish pride. There's nothing left in that heart, but it's poured out at the feet of Christ. It's completely emptied. I want to tell you, my friend, that's where every saint lives, if he walks in the will of God. Yes, the broken heart is an empty heart. I hold in my hand before this microphone a glass filled with water. As long as I hold it up like that, that glass is still full. It's never emptied. But if I drop that glass and break it, all the water pours out. And I will tell you, my friend, just as you, as a lost, doomed, damned sinner, falls at the feet of Christ and empties out everything out of that heart. Sinner, let it come. Pour it out at the feet of Christ until it's emptied. That heart is broken. And spewed out everything, and everything's poured out. Then the broken heart is a pliable heart. It's easily entreated. That heart has been pierced through with a gospel arrow. It's like melted wax. It's humbled. Pride and self-conceit have vanished away. It has been hidden from him. What breaks that sinner's heart so completely? When the Holy Spirit has shown that sinner through the mirror of the law, he has uttered damnation, guilt, death. Then the Holy Spirit leads that man to the cross and lets him behold the crucified, buried, risen Lord as one who died for him. That sinner begins to cry after him and cannot be stopped. Then and only then, the gospel becomes good news to him. He sees there that there's no hope apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the first time in his life, the gospel has become good news to that sinner. And there's a hunger in his heart that cannot be stayed until he knows him. The grace of God appears so wonderful to that sinner. He wonders why he ever tried of his own efforts to save himself. He rests at the feet of the Son of God. It is then and there that the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to that sinner's heart as his Lord and Savior.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you heard was, Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. The message was by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr., who was a pastor and founder of this ministry here many years ago, and we still air his broadcast. We make no apologies for that. And the message is just as fresh as it was the day he brought it. But this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Pray for me, the old trailblazer, the pastor here, is kind of coming down to the evening shadows of life. And I need all the Lord's help that I can get. But I praise the Lord for each one of you. But you do write me, sit down and tell me you're listening. That's the main thing. But remember, the message was Jesus binds up the brokenhearted, and it's free and postpaid in booklet form simply by your letting us know. You can email me at pastor@radiomissions.org, or you can call me, area code 225-664-8658. Until next week at the same time, remember, pray for us. Goodbye, and God bless you.